Welcome. You're listening to Winning at Life. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. On CNBC today, Alexandra White has a very interesting headline that I thought was a slam dunk, and then her article actually changed my mind. The headline here says, can you pay taxes with the credit card? And should you pay taxes with a credit card? So that sounds to me like an obvious no. Of course you shouldn't. Like maybe if you're in a jam, you don't have any other choice. But she changed my mind, Gregory. Can you imagine?
Well, here's my thoughts. Can you? I don't know, but I don't see why not. I'm sure you can. They'll be happy to take and hit your credit card.
Well, there's some things government won't let you do with credit. They won't let you buy a lottery ticket with a credit card. You got to accept we don't know these rules, Gregory. I don't know these rules.
I'm guessing that you can charge your credit card bill. Should you? That's a whole nother question. Does that give them access to, yeah, you owe us money, so we're just going to go ahead and hit your credit card. So
she didn't bring that up, but that's a maybe.
That's a concern there. Just, yeah, you owe us money. We're going to put it on your card.
Okay, so they do charge a little bit extra, but it's pretty nominal to pay with the credit card. I mean, like,
what's the upcharge? 3%, something like that?
If you do like pay1040.com, it's 1.87%. The minimum fee is $2.59. Officialpayments.com has another one. Pay1040, I already did that one. PayUSATax.com. The CNBC came up with a bunch of filing services that breaks down the fees for each payment processor. Now, here's one instance where it actually makes sense, because it seems like sort of a last resort thing. Like if you don't have any other way to pay for it, I guess maybe throwing it on the credit card is your least bad option there. It's better than not paying at all. But if you have the money to pay that bill off at the end of the month and you have one of these credit cards that gives you some sort of rewards points, frequent flyer miles, or points you can spend somewhere else or use somewhere else, then it's a, yeah, you know what? Not only no harm, no foul, that could actually benefit you, you know, even though ever so slightly. But sure, that's okay. From a financial standpoint, nothing wrong with that.
They're not, you know, there's a number of businesses that pass along the credit card fees to the customer.
Yes.
So the government charging a fee to do it, I don't see as a big deal.
Absolutely not. Fine by me. That was it. I just saw the headline caught my attention, and I was surprised that she pointed out sort of the exemption that proves the exception that proves the rule.
Let me ask you your thoughts on this.
Yes.
Because this, can't think of quite the word I'm looking for, but I don't know. It's kind of like a nuisance charge. Somebody, let's say somebody you've been doing business with, and you spend $100 with them here and there, and you've been doing your card, and sometimes they won't accept a certain credit card versus this is the only one, preferred one we only accept. And then all of a sudden one day there's a sign posted that there's a 2% added on charge for using credit cards. Oh, and now we take both kinds of that. And this is a service. This isn't like you're buying widgets, but they're providing a service. I don't know. I think that's a bit tacky, because, and then you're kind of explaining, well, our costs are going up, so we added on this charge. My thought is, and then you've got to like put up a sign and notify everybody. And I just think the better way to go about it, and I've seen this a few times, so just kind of like, that's not how I would do it. I would probably just say, yeah, we'd price increases. So we raised prices 3% this year across the board. Then you're not having to get in, well, we're doing this and credit cards cost us more. Why go there? Just raise it 3%.
That could be the right thing to do. I'm also trying to think of some exceptions. Not saying you're wrong. I'm just thinking, like, you know, if it's a restaurant, you don't want to raise your price of burgers if you don't have to. You'd have to reprint your menus, and then people.
Depends how busy I am. If I'm full, law of supply and demand, I'm raising it.
True. Good point.
I've died at some restaurants, and I told them, I said, hey, if this was my place, I'd add $1 to every menu item. Why? You're always full.
Yeah, but if you're struggling for business.
But then you get an upcharge. Well, seasonal upcharge, extra 50 cents for oysters. Just charge more for them.
It could be an advertising thing. You want to get that lowest price point possible. Like when you go and you book a cruise, they're like, sure, it's only like $400. But if you want to eat, here's some little bit of money here. And if you want to drink, here's a little more money here. And if you want to let you off the boat, here's a little more money here. And if you want to have a window, here's a little more money here. And so it's the price point that gets you to that boat at first, and then they make their money by stacking. Now,
I see that in different ways as well, as they get you on this. And I don't, there was something to that the other day that got my attention. And it's just, that's the way that world works. This is the price point, and then everything else is add-on. So I get that. I'm just running by that. It just sometimes that credit card thing is up front. But I guess that could be an add-on if there's hard prices on those items, and they're having, it just is a lot simpler if you just adjust the price of the items and it's built in. I always think of it's built in because I know there's credit card fees there. You know, if you're right, look, on the other end, you're writing a check. Guess what? Bank for business accounts charges for each check deposit and such that writing a check doesn't mean it's free for the business to deposit that check. Banks making money off those business accounts on a per transaction basis.
Is there an incentive for this business to have more customers pay in cash?
They might prefer it, but we won't go into the whys.
Okay. Just throwing things, noodles against the wall, see what sticks. Most of it didn't. That's all right.
I don't know, but there was a conversation I had with somebody a long time ago, and it was like, you know, yeah, we don't take credit cards. We only take cash. I said, you know you're losing business because of that. We're pretty busy. Okay.
Must be nice.
Enough said.
Yeah, I know one of my frequented bars has a cash only policy, and they got an ATM right around the corner. They got an ATM in, like, right by the front door. So
they have an ATM in the place. So yeah.
They're scoring fees, man. Every time someone goes over there, they just clock another $3.
Well, you know, I don't use ATMs, so I would have a problem.
Even with your credit card?
If I didn't have cash. I haven't used an ATM in like over 20 years.
Oh.
Why would I want to use an ATM?
To turn that plastic into paper.
Okay, but I don't need to.
Where do you get your paper? How do you turn your money into paper? How do you have paper money? Where did that come from?
The bank.
So you go to the bank instead of the ATM. You go to like a teller?
You're getting into too many details here, but I'm just saying, I probably, if I couldn't do a credit card, go to a restaurant, I'm probably not going there. That's the way I look at it.
So I'm going to help us out with our health here. You're on a diet. I know you're on a diet because you're always on a diet. And if you're not on a diet now, you just got off one or you're about to be on one. And some of you are still in the trailing off era that was called your New Year's resolutions. So when you're trying to still have fun but be somewhat healthy, or at least not get huge, what should you do? The easy one here is you got to watch the mixers. It's not so much the alcohol as it is the mixers. You go get a pina colada, you go get a margarita, anything's got sweet and sour mix or whatever. It's through the roof. Don't even bother. You got to stick with your solid alcohols and either by themselves or no calorie mixers. Club soda, maybe like a Diet Coke, seltzer. But the calorie
so
count.
Like Jack and Coke, it's not the Jack that's the problem, it's the Coke.
The Jack will count for about 105 calories. A can of Coke is 180 calories, so just divide that up on however big your glass is. That's most of it right there. A pina colada, 650 calories. That's only about 100 calories of that is the rum. Gin is 110 calories. Let's see, I already said bourbon or scotch, it's 105 calories. If you have the martini with the vermouth and two olives, just under 200 calories. That vodka itself, 110 calories. So another 80 calories for the olives there. But that's how you do it. One shot of vodka right at 100 calories. No sugar, no carbs. Technically speaking, as the alcohol gets processed through your body, some of that can turn into sugars and be de facto carbs down the line. But as the FDA scores it, no sugar, no carbs. Now go have fun and be responsible, but feel free to have more fun than you used to because now Uber exists. And if Uber's not there for you, Lyft exists. And don't call me if you can't get a ride from either one of those two.
I was just looking, you know, there's this coronavirus, killed over 2,000 people now worldwide. We know 99% of that's in China, but it is really strapping their entire resources. Overburdened hospitals have turned away some pregnant women with complications. People with HIV have run short of essential drugs. Reading a story here about a leukemia patient that's having trouble getting care now. It's their problems are much bigger, just the demand on their system, and they weren't prepared for it. So,
well, on that note, let mind if I add to the context here. Please, before the numbers ahead. Because we have a firm here, JP Morgan's Global Commodity Research Team. The Economist earlier this month reduced their first quarter China growth to a seasonally adjusted 1.3% quarter over quarter rate. But it got updated this week. They say there may be a 3.9% contraction. And I don't mean contraction like they were expecting it to be 6%. Now they're only expecting it to be 2.1% growth. They mean negative 3.9% contraction is the extreme scenario that they mentioned this week. Gregory, in my entire lifetime, has China's GDP been negative for a quarter? Like, I don't know.
Been a long time, and yeah, this I really don't think they have a problem handle on this problem.
Just to give you a little more background here, China's economy grew by 6% in 2019, and that was ragingly slow compared to what they've done for about the last 20 years. It was already a big slowdown just to get to 6%. They're talking about this first quarter could be negative 3.9.
Yeah, multiple years of consecutive slowing there, and so yeah, going to be a problem for them. We'll keep an eye on it, see how it impacts your dollars. But the market doesn't seem to worry about it. James, you ever Netflix cheated?
I did. I felt appropriately guilty. And the pain and suffering I had to go through to make up for it means I'll never do it again. Because we know what the term is.
So have you done it and pretended you didn't?
That's what I did, yeah. And it stunk because I had to sit there and watch all those episodes and let her catch up and keep my mouth shut. I didn't want to say that I've been watching it without her. So Netflix cheating is when you and your partner are binging a series together. And the problem is you can't watch it without the other one. Y'all both have to be there. Or next time y'all want to watch TV, you're not on the same episode. You have to stay on the same episode if you're going to binge it together.
On a trip, I was tired and I just kind of crashed early. But we started watching this together. And then... I said, it's fine. I'm just tired. You can continue. So she did continue a couple of episodes, but then I had to catch up later.
But you gave her like a weekend pass.
I said, you can go ahead without me. And so, you know, I think that's appropriate, but you got to be careful not to go too far because it could hurt the relationship.
Well, see, my wife and I, since we are on the forefront of relationship technology here, I don't even know if that's a thing. We figured out some different ways to get around it. What you have in Netflix is, or Hulu or any, or Amazon Prime, all the same rules. What you have here, heck, even your DVR, there's a bunch of shows that she wants to watch that I would never watch in a million years. There's a few shows out there that I want to watch that she would never watch in a million years. But there's a pretty good wide swath of shows we both want to watch. And I would say about 80% of the menu is stuff neither one of us will ever give a rip about. So if you're sitting down and that spouse, that partner, whoever's riding with you through this journey isn't next to you, you go to your list. You go watch one of your shows. And so my wife has seen like seven seasons of Supernatural. I haven't sat through one episode.
Yeah, I think because you can have each have their own shows, but the ones you think the other will like, and I've done this before is, you know, we start watching something and she's falling asleep and I go two episodes more, but then all of a sudden I'm like, I have got to stop. Or if I start watching something and I know she's going to like it, I like, okay, I've got to stop it because she's going to want to see this too.
So that's the right thing to do.
So yes. It is the right thing to do. Otherwise, gosh, it can be awkward. You're out of sync. So,
well, and then you feel cheated. And like, even if you're the one that cheated and you got to sit there and eat it while she catches up on the episodes that you already watched.
Because it is kind of like you're punished if you get too far ahead and then they find out, like, why didn't you tell me? Then you've got to sit there and go through the five or six episodes.
Wasting time, feeling guilty. All right. So Here we have a credit cards industry analyst named Ted Rossman. He has a little breakdown here on foxbusiness.com talking about financial infidelity in a marriage. And do you agree with these rules? He identifies three main types of financial infidelity. That's making a significant purchase your spouse or partner would not be comfortable with, if you secretly carry debt, or if you have a hidden credit card slash bank account, if you have a hidden stash over here. Those are the three main types of financial infidelity he's identified.
You got to be careful with those. There's times that's going to show up. I think we've heard some stories, but you go buying a house, they're pulling credit bureau. They're going to ask you about this.
Oh, Dwayne's got stories,
doesn't he? If you've kind of created too much borrowing, or how come my credit, our credit number's not good? Why? You know, you could be to the max. I've heard of somebody buying a darn car and keeping it a secret as well. So yeah, you got to be careful with that, because it's going to show up. You know, well, what do you have this credit card? Or creating a balance and not talking about it. Sometimes, you know, there was something the other day. I said, it's on Mardi Gras. No telling what you spent on those beads. Well, I can tell. Yes. No, you can't, because I don't want to know.
Oh, no. People that buy beads are great, aren't they? All right. So let me.
Well, it's a thing right now.
Let me try to.
In New Orleans and Mardi Gras, buying beads. So you can throw them to people.
Oh, okay. So Ted Rossman has some boundaries, and I'm going to take an eraser to part of his little hypothetical Venn diagram here, because I don't think financial infidelity works in all these situations. I think there is, you can spend money or make a purchase your partner wouldn't be comfortable with, and it's not financial infidelity. And I think you can also have a hidden credit card, and it doesn't count as financial infidelity. And it sounds a lot like the stream cheating with Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, because you have this little list of shows that you like. You have this little pile of money that you can deal with. They have this little pile of money they can deal with. And then you have your community pile. Now, if you do something untoward to the community pile, that's cheating. But if you go run up a credit card and you're going to pay it off from your own pile, and it's not going to affect the community pile or the partner, is it cheating? I don't think so. My wife and I have a similar situation. She wanted to buy the minivan a couple years ago. I didn't want to. So now we have a minivan. And as long as she doesn't ask me to make any of the payments, I can't say anything about it. She has a little bit of autonomy there.
I don't know, James. I think it's almost like putting blinders on a horse. You're not looking that, but you're not seeing the other racers, but you're in the race against others. Oh no, he can't see what else is going on, or I'm blinding myself to that other payment. I just see the world differently without blinders, and it's all your community. How do you segregate? Well, you use part of your check. Okay. I just see it all as the same whole. It's what we all do, and we're on the same page.
Different strokes for different folks. I am not sitting through 7 seasons of Supernatural, though. It is not all community in my house if it's going to come back to that. All right, hey, we got to talk about the events here. So the next Wine Wisdom and Food Experience is coming up about the time everyone's going to sober up and get their life reoriented. It's time to get back to business. March 4th is the next one. That one's in Madisonville. Wine Wisdom and Food Experience. Keith Young's Steakhouse up there. Who absolutely needs to check this out?
So much to talk about. We're with the markup run up and knowing historicals, we have to talk about properly blending assets to where you have financial balance going forward. People are liking the move up of stocks, but I even had a few comments today. I like it upside, but I sure don't want it to go down. I don't want to lose any. You know, what goes up comes down. But that's where we get into blending, where we take advantage of that upside, but we're protecting on the down, how much is exposed to downside. We've got the Secure Act as well. It's impacting IRAs. A lot of changes there. And then it's also talking about what maximizing your go-go years as well. so much to talk about. And then, you know, at the Wine Wisdom and Food, we're going to give you some wine tips, foodie tips. You're going to have fun, but you're going to get to know me better, my backstory, and how I think about money, and give you some tips that you're able to leave there with. And we've got that at Keith Young's. And then we've got another one coming up at Rizzuto's
March 12th
in New Orleans. And if finding out where on the path, doing better with your money, accumulating money or money that you've put together, doing better with it and keeping it, you should come to the event. That's who should come. 504-832-9200, gregoryricks.com for those events.
Yeah, I thought on Tuesday's show, Craig was perfect. He's like, I got this company plan. I've been putting money into it. All of a sudden, I turn around. I got a little over $100,000 in there, and it's just floating around in stocks, and I know I need to be doing something smarter with it. I need to get some help with that. I thought that was a pretty typical scenario that might be interesting.
Yeah, to visit any office, the Gulfport office, Mandeville, Louisiana, Metairie, Louisiana, any of the events is one number, 504-832-9200, gregoryricks.com. One thing I like is customer service, and I was impressed today. You know, I had a little mess up on my bumper, on my vehicle, and I stopped in this place, and I'm just having to say that, just gosh. And then the bill, and
gosh good or gosh bad?
Gosh good, okay. Because I was expecting it to be more, and I was less there. And that was, and I got this wonderful surprise, walked out, and then I walked back in, and I said, look, I just want to tell you, all of you here, I said, you guys have an awesome customer service. They're happy. They smile. They solve problems. I don't know if it goes that way for everybody, but it did for me. And, you know, sometimes I wonder, you know, when you look at it, is that a good place to take my vehicle to get fixed or something? Yeah, you know, just give them a shout out. NOLA Collision Center, like, just gave me that warm, fuzzy feeling. So it was just really good to experience that when I'm kind of dreading it.
Well, see, this is also good because they showed you a little love. Now you're showing them a little love back.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, you get inundated with the news because all they're going to tell you is the horrible stuff that happened today. Someone got shot. Someone got fired. Someone got in a drunk driving accident. A school bus flipped or whatever. They're not going to tell you, hey, someone drove to work safely or two guys got along swimmingly in the accounting department. Doesn't make headlines. But, you know, your story, just these tiny little things that happen over and over in America.
So they made me feel good. So that's why I actually was getting in my vehicle and I just went back in and I said, I have to tell you this. They may have been like, uh-oh, what's coming? I said, y'all really did an awesome job.
See, when someone makes you feel good, it's nice to make them feel good back.
So that's kind of like positive things. Leave a positive trail behind. So it was good experience. And, you know, in my firm, and you know, I was having a talk with somebody the other day, and I said, you know, I am in the happiness business. You know, we want people to be satisfied. We want people to be happy. We want to have a good experience and try to accomplish what they're seeking there. And that's what we strive for there. Do you get that 100% of the time? I can't say. Can any business say you get that 100% of the time?
No, we're humans.
That's really what we work towards. And I don't mind that. I was having a conversation there, and it was having a discussion with somebody that's heavy stocks and talking about why you need to blend. And I said, you know, here's what's going to happen. You're going to stay heavy in stocks, and one day you're going to fire me. And it's not going to be my fault because this market is going to go down. And I said, that's why we're having this blending discussion, talking about the 50-50, 50-50 money management philosophy. So once again, leading to so that they understand what we're trying to do and what can happen to them. So just my thoughts. I'm just trying to get positive vibes out there.
If there's a guy out there who's thinking about going to a Wine, Wisdom, and Food event, not the Social Security event, not some of these other events, the Wine, Wisdom, and Food event, I think something that might convince him is hearing you do the card. Do a card. Just pick the top card off the stack right there. You got them from the last event we had.
Right here?
Yeah, the comic
cards. Yeah, we get this from all the events.
Everyone fills out a comic card when they go to an event. We answer some of them, or he answers some of them at the event. The rest of them we bring back to the show. And we just sprinkle them in here and there. Yeah, because
we get more than we can answer at the events. The Q&As only can go so long. there, but Social Security windfall and the government annuity. Well, he's in parentheses noted CSRS, and that's regarding the civil service retirement system.
Is that windfall elimination provision on top of that?
Yeah, because windfall. Well, and that's what they're talking about, Social Security windfall. They're talking about the Social, well, I read it kind of how they've got, they don't have the elimination on there.
Okay.
But that's what he's referring to, because CSRS employees is the old federal government pension system, and they did not participate in Social Security. So what's going to happen is, if you did have a work record where you worked for an employer that you did participate in Social Security, then worked in the government system, the federal system of CSRS, your Social Security benefits are going to be impacted. And that's because the government wants to make sure you're not double dipping into two systems unfairly there. So then you have the windfall elimination provision. And then that also leads into the government offset for spousal benefits as well. So, and the continues here, can spouse draw on my Social Security when she is FRA? He won't have much Social Security benefits there. The spouse, the worker, the spouse is a worker. So whatever rules there for her, she can have. However, he cannot draw from her work record. If she was to die or so forth, or spousal benefit, he can, the CSRS, the non-Social Security that did not participate, is the one that the benefits are taken from. The worker that's participating in Social Security is not hurt by the other spouse having participated. It's just, there's not going to be much benefit there if you spent most of your life working in the system that did not participate in Social Security benefits. So yeah, they could draw benefits from that. It's just not going to be a lot there.
Where else would this couple find that answer?
SSA.gov.
So trying to dig through the rules of the website, calling some good guy at the office.
I've not seen one document that kind of takes you through all of that stuff. And windfall elimination, government offset, that's two different documents. But then that ties into so many other things as well, just like the FRA rules are vast and complicated as well.
All right, Gregory, you know, we try not to do politics on this show unless they steer into our lane of finances. And one thing, we got to look down the road, you know, ahead at what's going to happen to the money so we can be properly positioned for it. And so when we look at the candidates, the only thing we really care about is their financials. Right? What do they want to do with money? What do they want to do with taxes or spending or things like that? And so we know the new guy that's basically the head of the Democrat field, you know, there's Bernie Sanders, and then this Mike Bloomberg guy's now in second place, Gregory.
I didn't see him in the New Hampshire primary.
He's not in the New Hampshire primary. He's not going to be in the Nevada caucus.
The Iowa caucus, we now call it the Iowa train wreck.
Well, the Republicans did it well.
The Dems didn't.
They know who won.
They did finally get the votes in, I guess.
Well, this Bloomberg fella, though, you got to start watching him here, because while he is taking the moderate vote, is he actually a moderate when it comes to fiscal policy? And the answer is not really. He's very big on taxes. We don't know where he stands on spending, because when you're mayor of a city, you can't really do an insane amount of deficit spending because you don't have the printing press like the Treasury Department does. We do know this guy loves to ban stuff. So I found a list of 32 things he liked to ban. And just reading through this, he's not a big fan of free markets. He's not a big fan of capitalism. He's not a big fan of you doing whatever you want, even if he doesn't like it. That's just without getting into any political nitpicky things. I still think he may be better than the previous front runner, though. So that's not too bad. Pete Buttigieg and this guy, not too bad.
God, Buttigieg. He just fell off, didn't he? All of a sudden, the guy's leading, and now he's dropped to what, fourth place?
Because the moderate vote went to Bloomberg. They were never really with Biden. They just had to say something when the pollster came to their door in July. But now that they have to put their chess piece on a square, they were like, I guess Buttigieg, what will Bloomberg's get in? Okay, Bloomberg.
Well, you know, I did call the race for the whole deal based on the early start of this. And I said it's going to come between Bernie and Pete.
Mm-hmm.
I said one of those two are going to be it.
Now what do you say?
It's narrowed to one because Pete's out.
It's Bernie, huh?
Yeah. Hey, this is Winning at Life. If you need some help, my day job, GregoryRicks.com, 504-832-9200.
Your home away from the show, WinningAtLife.com and the Winning at Life app. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Investment advisory services offered only by duly registered individuals through AE Wealth Management, LLC. AE Wealth Management, Gregory Ricks & Associates, W.J. Blanchard Law, LLC, J. Heath & Company, and Mortgage Gumbo are not affiliated companies. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying abilities of the issuing carrier. This radio show is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Annuities are insurance contracts designed for retirement or other long-term needs. They provide guarantees of principal and credited interest subject to surrender charges. Annuity guarantees and protections are backed by the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing insurer. Roth conversion is a taxable event and may have several tax-related consequences. Be sure to consult with a qualified tax advisor before making any decisions regarding your IRA. Hypothetical examples have been provided for illustrative purposes only. It does not represent a real-life scenario and should not be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Gregory Ricks & Associates is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during the show shall constitute legal or tax advice. Our firm is not affiliated or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by Gregory Ricks & Associates. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.